We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course, present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius, only you could find... Oh, there it is! Drawing Board or...
Miro! All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Round two is no joke, even when you're facing the Joker. This is where we separate the pretenders from the contenders. Get some skin in the game with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. They're offering free-to-play pools every day of the basketball playoffs, offering players a free shot at $10,000. That's right, 10 G's, baby, in total prizes each day. The best part, it's free. If I didn't make that clear, it's free to play. DraftKings free-to-play pools are easy to enter. Just download the DraftKings app, go to pools, and choose from a variety of free contests for an opportunity to win cash prizes. All you have to do is answer a handful of questions around what you think is going to happen during that day's basketball games. Track your results throughout the evening. Questions will range from what team will hit the most three-pointers a game to which team will score first. And the best part, DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. That's right. No risk here in getting your money in and out. It's that easy. Download the top-rated DraftKings app now and use the promo code TBPN. That's promo code TBPN when you sign up to get your free shot at $10,000 in total prizes every day of the basketball playoffs. Head to DraftKings pool page to get your shot at huge cash prizes and use that promo code TBPN for a limited time only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Hi, everyone. Tim Kitzer here, the voice of NBA Jam and NFL Blitz. Welcome to the Solar Panel. Tonight's matchup, Espo versus the Silver Fox versus Carmel Thunder. Ooh, boomer shakalaka. Ahoy, ahoy.
Welcome once again, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Solar Panel / Suns Jam Session podcast. We come to you tonight following a victory by the Phoenix Suns in Game 2 of the Western Conference semifinals. That's now 5 in a row for your Phoenix Suns as they are victorious and go up 2-0 in the series. This is a reminder, if you're watching live on YouTube, to go ahead and hit the thumbs up button and also subscribe. And if you're listening on the Bright Side of the Sun podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review there as well. As I bring in the different participants on tonight's podcast, I'm going to ask them one thing. Give me 4 words to describe this game. So let's start with you, Matthew Lissy. Welcome to the show. How you doing?
Hey, thank you, John. I'm doing great. Of course I am. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic, you know, and I just got to ask, you know, 4 words. Describe tonight's game.
Chris Paul is the real MVP.
I think that's 1, 2, 3. That's 5. but okay. We'll allow it. He is the real MVP. All right. Welcome to the show, Saul Bookman. How you doing tonight, fellas?
Pretty good. And I can do this in less than six. I promise you that. Oh, my goodness. Jeez.
Matthew doesn't
time constraints, well. Dude.
My thing was going to be Chris Paul as a boss. So,
okay. Okay. I love it. More love for Chris Paul. All right. Let's bring in Greg Esposito. Greg, how are you doing? Are you going to say ahoy hoy like four times?
Ahoy hoy. No, my four words, I'm so sorry, Dario.
I like it. You know, we'll get into the smoke break a little bit later. I think there's some people who have some forgiving to do for our buddy, Mr. Dario Saric here tonight. And then last but not least, joining the podcast for the first time, welcome to Surging Suns. Serge, how we doing? You got four words for me?
Yeah, chugging with the fellas.
Ooh, chugging with the fellas. All right. Well, if you got them, ladies and gentlemen, cheers. Let's chug with the fellas. Oh, God help me.
Is that a Pepsi?
Oh, my goodness.
Wow, dude. Very good.
That was great for the people listening on the podcast. Espo's chugging.
Very nice. I like Surge that.
So what was your beer of choice tonight, Serge?
A Papago Orange Blossom.
Ooh, that's kind of a tough one to chug. I've actually got a Four Peaks Sun Brew, one of their Kolsch's here. So shout out to Four Peaks right there. We've got plenty to talk about on tonight's podcast. Recapping this win over the Denver Nuggets. I don't even know what the final score was. What was the final score?
It's a 25-point victory. That's all you need to
That's
know.
That's all we need to yeah. know.
Doesn't matter so, anymore.
There you go. Well, on that note, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do the drop. But you know what? I'm not – you know, let's crack them if you got them.
How many you got in your pocket there, John?
You're drunk tonight, baby.
Hey, you know what? I got a drinking problem. And on that note, we're going to bring in the theme song by our buddy Zane Zor. Again, cheers, Suns fans. Let's talk about this victory in Game 2 of the Western Conference Semifinals.
I want to hear you scream, Mug the Nugs, mug the Nugs. Hey! Mug the Nugs, mug the Nugs.
Yeah!
Mug the Nugs, mug the Nugs.
Hey!
Mug the Nugs, mug the Nugs.
Yeah!
Mug the Nugs, mug the Nugs.
Hey!
Mug the Nugs, mug the Nugs.
Yeah!
Mug the Nugs, mug the Nugs.
And mug the Nugs, the Phoenix Suns did, winning by 25 points tonight at home behind another raucous crowd. Final score was 123-98. Another fantastic performance by the Suns. Gents, as we go around and take a look at kind of, you know, we can start with your four words. You know, Serge and I just downed some beer. I'm going to be highly intoxicated here in a few minutes, so I'm probably going to stop talking.
Bit, huh?
Yeah, you know. So, Matthew and Saul, we'll kind of start with you. You know, you were mm-hmm. talking about CP3 being, you know, the real MVP and everything. Let's talk about that a little bit. A fantastic performance tonight by the point guard. He ended with a total of how many points was it? 17 points.
17 and 15 assists.
And zero turnovers. Zero turnovers. Let's talk about it, fellas.
He's done that more times than any other point guard in history in the playoffs. Yep.
That's unreal.
15-plus assists three times in his playoff career with zero turnovers. That's unbelievable. That guy has just been phenomenal. It's good to see him start to come back to his full form like he was in the regular season. And more than anything, he's just so damn smart out there on the court. He knows exactly how to get everybody involved. And we talked about it when he first got here. You know, he kind of assesses the situation, gets his teammates involved in the first, second, third quarters. And then in the fourth quarter, that magic starts happening, baby. And whew, it's fun to watch. It's absolutely fun to watch.
He did the rope-a-dope offensively again. It was pedestrian the first few quarters, and then that fourth quarter came around, and he just smacked the Nuggets. He was like, "All right, it's time to shut the door. I need a breather. I'm going to go sit on the bench for a while. You guys enjoy your 25-point beatdown." It was spectacular. He just continues to come through, and he had moments where I went, it's like watching Steve Nash again, but on the other end, he can play defense. This is unbelievable. Like, and then you have TNT talking about how, thanks in part to Chris Paul, this is the best defensive team in the playoffs. And you go, I don't know how to deal with this. I'm a Phoenix Suns fan. What is defense? You know?
It's been absolutely spectacular. Real quick, Serge, I know you got to get out of here, but I want you to talk real quick about chugging with the fellas.
Okay, I just wanted to give a shout out to two of our Suns Twitter users, Chase and Caitlin. They're donating $1 for every single chugging with the fellas. As long as you hashtag it, chugging with the fellas, they're going to donate $1 to 1 in 10, which is a local nonprofit. It's committed to serving the LGBTQ community in the Valley. So if you guys want to contribute, you know, just post some videos of that hashtag and we'll get some money over there.
Is it $1 per session or per person doing it? Because I didn't know that. Otherwise, I would have brought a beer, took the Invisalign out, and actually joined you guys.
I think it's $1 per person doing it.
Okay. Perfect. So I'm here next time.
After this or, yeah, anything like that.
We're going to bankrupt them on Sunday at Four Peaks. We're going to get the whole bar.
I will get that whole bar involved. Yes. Yes. Paul has joined the podcast from Fanning the Flames. Yes, Paul, we're going to be at Four Peaks on Sunday to watch game 4. So if anybody's interested in attending, make sure that you make reservations. Call Four Peaks ahead of time because they will be busy. It's a 5 p.m. game. As for Trevor, he's fantastic. And, you know, we'll be doing a lot of chugging with the fellas and donating to a great cause. So, you know, Serge, again, we appreciate you coming on the podcast, hanging out with us for a little bit. You're a fantastic follow on Twitter. Make sure you follow him at Surging Suns. And again, chugging with the fellas. I mean, I think that this is one of those things that this podcast was born to do because I crack open a beer before every pod and I'm already starting to feel it. So, all right, back to CP3 being fantastic. Matthew, you said he's the real MVP.
He is.
I mean,
him and the Suns.
He was going
against
the MVP tonight.
He was, newly crowned, right? That was more Jokic versus Aiden, but Paul, I mean, him and the Suns, they play with their food, I feel like, in the first half. They get us kind of worried, right, in these kind of like sloppy games a little bit in the first half, but every time they come out in the second half, it's over. They just turn it on, their shots go in, they pick up the pace defensively. Everything is going for them, and they did it tonight. I had to run an errand at halftime. And I came back 1 minute into the second half, and they were already up by like 30 points. I was like, what the hell happened, dude? And what happened is just they turn it on. And that's great basketball in the playoffs. You know, stick with the team, hang in there, and then come out and just, you know, knock them out.
And real quick, Nicholas Tan in the chat says, your facial MVP, your facial hair is the runner-up MVP. You're looking good,
my
man.
Facial?
Yeah, your facial hair. You're finally.
I can barely see the facial hair either. So
yeah.
Don't tell me short. There it is. It was behind the mic.
What did you think it was? The mic?
I did. I thought it was the mic.
I'll tell you. For those who've been watching us all season long,
Master Splinter joined the chat. I didn't know what was going on over here.
So, Paul, give us your thoughts on CP3's fantastic performance tonight.
I mean, it's just great to see, because I know, like, after the first round with the injury and whatnot, everybody, you know, we were worried kind of how that was going to shape up for the rest of the playoffs. You know, we made it through that first round successfully, and then see him. I honestly, it started with that video from practice, like right before game one, where like he was like just draining threes and he's like, I'm back or whatever the hell he said. And it's just rolling from there, man. I mean, freaking 15 assists or whatever. And that was with like a team that was shooting like crap for like the first half of the game. So imagine how many you would have had if like they're actually making shots.
Yeah, it was kind of a rough performance at the beginning of the game, not only for the interior of the Suns and DeAndre Ayton, who had a million bunnies in there, it felt like, and just wasn't putting them down. But I think a very interesting...
Neither team was.
Neither team was, and that was the advantage. And this game had a very eerie sense to it that it kind of felt like game two against the Lakers, where that second quarter was this void of teams missing easy shots and the Suns not extending the lead. I felt like it was 35-30 for quite some time. Luckily, the Suns kind of filled out the back end of that quarter, ended up going by 10 up at 10 at halftime. And then, of course, you know, I got to say, I really miss the Bally Sports broadcast right now. I mean, I'm already sick of Reggie.
Big time.
Yeah. Well, because even during the season when we were on TNT, you tune in, hear what the national guys have to say, and you end up, because you want to hear Eddie Johnson breaking it down.
Yeah.
You know, and by this, by hearing Reggie Miller, you know, we talked about in the last podcast kind of repeating himself, but it was just like, I almost felt like at times it was like a Denver Nuggets home game, because they kept talking about what's wrong with the Nuggets. And I get it. That is a great question. What is wrong with the Nuggets right now, right?
Well, it's not a fun discussion to go, what's right with the Suns? And then he goes, everything.
It is for us.
Okay, everything. So, all right, short conversation. Everything's great for the Suns right now. So, right, look. Right,
what can we do better, Espo? What can we do better?
What can we do
There's
better?
There's always room for improvement.
Yes. If the Nuggets were blowing us out by 30 points, the same thing would be said about us. What's wrong with the Suns? They would be talking about CP3. The narrative is always the team that's performing poorly. It's mm-hmm. always going to be that way. Just try and keep their interest in the game. Like, I don't get all salty about that stuff. Half the time I tune these guys out anyway. I just want to hear their insight. That's the only time it's like my ears peak up. Like when like Reggie, he was like, Chris Paul knows MPJ is a matchup problem for the Nuggets. Yeah. And so they kept switching and they kept switching. And there was one time he couldn't even get around the switch. And CP3 hits the three. They call a timeout. And that was basically the end of MPJ for the night and Chris Paul for the night. And they put that lead up. So it's just, you know what? Enjoy it. Like, mm-hmm. and I do agree. Like, I love hearing EJ talk because he gives such insight, and Reggie should give that insight as well too. Like, we've been in this situation before, so I know exactly how this is supposed to go. But EJ does it. Reggie Miller doesn't. He's still, you know, wet behind the ears, I guess.
I think EJ does it because Reggie's doing it once a week. EJ's does it night in, night out, and he's around these guys. He knows them. EJ provides such great insight. My favorite Reggie thing tonight was when they showed the list of most wins in the playoffs without winning a title, and then he somehow humble brags that he got most of those wins in the playoffs for Indiana, even though they hadn't won a title. I was like, oh, that's an amazing pretzel twist there by Reggie Miller to pat himself on the back. Congratulations,
another thing he did, too, was he spoke Saric's three-pointer into existence. I think before he hit those two threes, Saric, in the first quarter, he was talking about how Saric is a knockdown three-point shooter, from catch and shoot. And I was like, is he really? I haven't seen that lately, but it happened right after that.
It was perfect, dude.
This isn't something we normally do. We normally do eight and watch first. I mean, shout out.
The Saric smoke break.
I mean, Dario Saric's performance tonight, you know, again, it's not legendary. It's going to go down in the annals of Suns history, but it was exactly what we've talked about, how this is a series where he can be effective, and effective he was tonight. He had to come in a little bit early. I mean, kudos to Monty Williams for deciding to keep DeAndre Ayton out there after getting his second foul with 7 minutes left in the first quarter. But Dario got a little bit more playing time in that first half. He played 9 minutes of the first half. And in those 9 minutes, he had to guard Nikola Jokic, the newly crowned MVP. And Nikola Jokic looked great. I mean, he had a couple amazing no-look passes, but those were created because Dario Saric was standing his ground and forcing him into those passes. Then he comes down and hits the three-pointer. He has a dunk. He ends with 8 points in those 9 minutes on 2 of 3 shooting, and he even had a rebound. Ends the night with a total of how many points he had? 8 points. So he was all in the first half for Sir Dario Saric. 4 rebounds, 1 assist. But again, you know, his effectiveness is going to be something that the Suns can, I wouldn't say rely on, but utilize in this series because of the matchup of the Denver Nuggets.
Can I take a moment here? I'd like to perform a mea culpa. I was wrong about Dario. The next pack of smokes is on me, big man. I appreciate your efforts out there, and thank you for your service in helping the Suns go up 2-0. I was wrong.
I don't think you were wrong, Espo. I think you just, you know, you call a spade. That's exactly what it was. He was playing like dog shit.
I said he should never see the floor again. I was wrong. Well, all right.
I mean, okay, sure. Maybe that was going a little bit overboard. But yeah, I mean, Dario was fantastic tonight. It looked like he found himself again tonight. He was really feeling well. And I think it started in the last game. You know, he had a couple nice plays, a dunk, a steal. And so, you know, I think that's just going to continue for Dario, hopefully, in this series, because if it does, man, this team is going to be super tough to beat.
Correct. Just hope they bring the trampoline to Denver with them so Dario can get more dunks.
Well, you know,
there's got to be a spot in the floor that's yeah, spring-loaded for him to get these. So.
Well, you know, that's what happens. That's what Monty's process was. He was like, you know what, maybe I'm playing Dario too much. Let me cut back from his 15 minutes a game and bring him back to 5 and get some bounce back in those legs, baby.
Well, and if you think about it, when he goes to Denver, I mean, the altitude, he should fly. I mean, he should be flying through the air.
He should really be able to get up over the rim.
Well, yes. Or the smoking is just going to get to him that much more.
This is true. Yes. When you have
it's
that
a different kind of smoke in Denver.
It's a different smoke. We welcome to the podcast Mr. Dave King. Sounds like he's at a party in the background. Sounds like it was a fantastic game.
It's almost
Dave,
like
how,
these
how
fans
you doing?
Don't want to go home. Yeah.
Good. We've earned it.
They're staying around. They are having a party behind me. I can't find any quiet areas. So
that's fine. How was the game, my friend? How was the game?
It was okay. I mean, you know,
y'all are boring there.
It was chill. It was all right. Holy crap. Michael, I listened to Michael Malone post game actually instead of Monty because I knew what Monty was going to say. Michael Malone, man, did he lambaste his players. Holy crap. He spent 5 minutes saying those guys, they didn't show up to play. They didn't look like they wanted to be there. He saw one team that wanted to be there and one team that didn't. He's going to try to find five guys who are willing to play on Friday, and he might not find them, but he's going to look until he finds it. I mean, that's pretty tough. That is really tough words for his team. He also said, I know exactly why the Suns fans were chanting Suns in four behind me.
Wow. So you're saying Bol Bol is going to start on Friday is what you're saying.
I don't know what he's going to do, man, but he's definitely going to look for some guys to have a little bit of backbone. It's going to help them being back in their own arena on Friday for sure. They're going to get their own fans cheering for them. They came down. They came back twice last year or three times down 3-1.
Twice.
And they came back twice. So, look, this team is not broken. Tonight they were broken. They're not broken for this series. The Suns are still going to have to show up and kick some butt every single game. And so I fully expect them to, you know, I'd be happy if they split over there. And then, yeah.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Dave.
No, I was going to say that. I was going to be happy if they split over there and then close it out in five. It's still a great, great series.
Yeah, the major difference this year, obviously, is, yeah, they have the MVP, but they are missing Jamal Murray, and he was a large, large part of their resurgence when they were down in series last year. And they're not in the bubble. They have to come back to Phoenix if they want to try and win this series. And with this crowd the way it is, holy crap. I don't know if anybody can beat them right now. Jeez.
Yeah, game three is going to be interesting because you got to remember, I mean, they're most likely going to celebrate the MVP the first time they've had an NBA MVP in their arena and handing him the trophy. I mean, for those of you who remember the Nash years, when that happened at home during the playoffs, it was raucous. It was a fantastic environment. So the Suns, you know, it's going to be really interesting, and obviously we're getting ahead of ourselves, but it's going to be really interesting in game three to see how the Suns respond to in that first half. I wouldn't even say the first quarter. I'd say that first half. Knowing that crowd is going to be behind them. They've had a front row seat watching on TV, seeing their team get demolished by the Suns in these first two games and with a crowd that is absolutely insane behind it. So it's their turn now. I mean, did any of you watch that Utah game last night against the Clippers? They were pretty insane up there too. I mean, the Suns are getting national attention for the effort that the crowd is putting behind them, and other crowds are stepping up in an effort to try to, you know, they want a little of that sunshine to come their ways too. The problem with the Jazz is they all have different, they give everybody a different shirt color to try to be cool. And, you know, I'd be pissed if I was like sitting in yellow and I wanted an orange shirt. That would kind of suck.
Yeah. Well, what if you wore a shirt that you actually liked, like a nice jersey, and then you have to put on that fucking shirt?
Yeah.
You have to wear it?
That's yeah, stupid. You wear like the black. I like to call the Utah jerseys like the hydration level jerseys, like the darker it is, you know, how much piss, you know, you need to drink more water. So if, like, if you wore one of those black jerseys and they're like, no, we're in the yellow section, like they're booing you. So
and they're all double XL because they got to make sure it fits everybody.
Yeah,
that's true.
John, you know, I think you're in, really I think you're in the red right now after all that beer. So
I'm not done, brother.
He doesn't stop drinking,
man.
I was just going to say
the Suns could do that with their court because of the pixelated, you know, they could do different shirts on different sections. I don't know. I don't like it though. I think all orange or all purple, that's best for me.
Yeah. Suns don't need any damn gimmick. The fans are bringing it without that crap.
Yeah.
Let Utah try to figure out dumb ways to get their crowd going in Denver. The Suns fans have come with everything they've had pent up for 11 freaking years. And at times it hasn't always been something that you're necessarily proud of. I am damn proud to be a Suns fan with the way these people have shown up and shown out there at the arena.
Yeah, and that crowd over there looks like a choir with all the colors and how they're just standing up and in unison. Looks stupid. Okay. Thanks for giving me the full screen for that take.
You're welcome. You're welcome. That's a fantastic take there, Matthew. So as we look at this game, you know, MPJ, he's somebody who I think that coming into the series, obviously he is their second highest leading scorer. He's somebody who we've kind of said, hey, the Suns need to try to do what they can to negate him, push him off of his spots. It looks like in the second half of game one, he had tweaked something in his back. He's not looking the same. Came out in the first half, did not look the same. And that's obviously something that's going to bode well for the Suns, but he still hit some shots. What are you guys thinking about MPJ? And I'll ask you this random question. Is he Grant Hill light when he's healthy?
No, he's better than Grant Hill light when he's healthy. Yeah, shooting wise, at least I will say that. Yeah. He's got the length. He's got the ability. It's too bad that he's injured right now because he showed flashes of that in the last series. He showed flashes of it once Jamal Murray got injured and it was out. So I would say, you know, scoring wise, he's better than Grant Hill. Now, all around game, no, he's not. He's still got a long, long, long way to go. But, you know, MPJ not being healthy in this series. I know Espo is chomping at the bit to come back at me with this whole Grant Hill stuff. So just hold up, buddy. I got you.
You'll get your chance.
You'll get your chance. And so, no, I just think that without MPJ being at full strength, I don't know how this Denver Nuggets team is going to compete, you know, and even win a game in this series because Jokic needs help and nobody else is really showing up to help him out at all. So, you know, Barton kind of had a little bit today, you know, had a couple threes here and there, but even he's not 100% back to where he was. And man, it's if you're a Suns fan, you feel pretty good in the position you're in. But again, like Espo said before we came on, you don't want to piss off the basketball gods. Just stay humble.
Amen.
And keep grinding.
Yeah, they're vindictive son of bitches. You know that. All right. But Saul, you realize that he wasn't asking Grant Hill of the Phoenix Suns, right? He's talking Detroit Pistons Grant Hill when he says that. I think a lot of people forget just how damn good Grant Hill was.
I'm only going Suns because that's all we're talking about today.
Wait to backtrack the hell out of that.
I didn't backtrack shit.
Orlando Grant Hill.
He's walking with a limp anyway, so he might as well be.
Yeah, look, MPJ's obviously struggling for this Denver team, and if they want to have any chance to get back in this, they're going to need him to have a bounce back, and the back is just not, if anybody's ever struggled with that in any way, that's just not something that you're bouncing back from quick, especially when you have a game every other night. Like that's going to be a tall order for this guy, and props to him going out there and battling, but that is yet another advantage that has gone the Suns' way, and I'm not going to complain about it. He would have been problematic if he was at 100%. So it's one of those things you got to watch closely. They'll do everything that they can. You know, the training staff in Denver will, but if he just his motion is not there, and I think that's going to carry into Game 3.
You don't want to wish any injury on anybody unless it's Anthony Davis. But for him, I hope it doesn't affect his future too much because he has a bright future. I think he can be one of the best players in the NBA. I mean, coming out of the draft, he was nominated as the best player. Of course, he had the injury problem. So if it continues to linger, that sucks because I'm not a big Nugget hater. I don't mind them. I love Jokic. I love watching him. Of course, right now, of course, we're rooting against him. But I mean, I want him to be like that number two guy next to Jokic. I want to see how that looks in the future because the guy is unbelievable. I mean, the Grant Hill thing, I don't know too much about him playing with the Pistons. I was pretty young, so I'm not too sure. I can look up highlights, but it's not the same thing. But he looks like he has a bright future, dude. And if this injury thing keeps going, it's going to suck for the Nuggets.
What brand of diapers were you wearing, Matt?
Oh, I never wore diapers, dude. Oh, never wore diapers.
He was
that makes so much sense.
He was a free baller.
He was always trying to show off the McNuggets.
Yep. He was manscaping back in his youth.
I was like, Mama, hold me high. You see me.
Paul, what are your thoughts on MPJ in this series and how it might affect the chances for the Nuggets moving forward?
Well, yeah, I mean, he was kind of filling in that gap when they lost Murray and, like, obviously helped keep them afloat. And, you know, a lot of that was Jokic. You know, that's why he won the MVP, is when Murray went down and they didn't fall back. But, you know, he kind of did fill in that gap. And without that, I mean, they're a walking mash unit right now, you know, just with, like, playing backups of backups and guys off the street. And if, you know, you're losing MPJ too, it's just that much harder to kind of keep up with what the Suns are putting down.
Yeah. So, I mean, his night tonight ended with a total of 11 points on 3-for-13 shooting, 2-for-9 from deep. You know, again, MPJ is somebody who is a fantastic young talent, and it's unfortunate that he is not playing to his level due to an injury. I think that's going to be real important for the Denver Nuggets to try to get him some rest. It's just going to be tough because it's every other day right now in this series.
I was just about to say that there is no 2 days in between between now and game four. So you're going back to back to back to back, you know, with 1 day to try and recoup. And I don't know if that's going to be enough for MPJ to heal up that back. So, like I said before the series, man, if the Suns could get the two games at home and they go on the road, you know, game three is going to be brutal. Like, you just know it's going to be, you know, everything. If the Suns pull out that win, series is over. It's going to be over. It might be over in four. It just game three. But this is the great thing about Chris Paul. You know, he knows this. Mm-hmm. And you know, he's like, he sticks something in your ear and F what you heard, because that ain't the way we're going down. We're going up there to win these two and get this shit over with, because I need to rest. you know what I mean? Like, don't think he ain't saying that to the players.
And his team will step up for him. And I think that's – I mean, we talked about it at the top of the podcast, but, I mean, Chris Paul is so invaluable. I mean, I know you can put – you know, you can't quantify his leadership. Well, you can. It's $44 million a year, okay? So you can definitely quantify his leadership. But at the same time, going into this playoffs – you know, to your point, Saul, if you have a team full of young guys who are feeling a little cocky, feeling a little confident, you have him right there to bring them back down and go, hey, guys, this is a business trip. We're going up to Denver. It's, you know, we're going to have a lot of different obstacles that we're going to have to face, and we're going to have to come out there and try to be aggressive and try to win this game. You know, one of those obstacles that they're going to have to face is Aaron Gordon. You know, I mean, this guy's puffing up his chest. He's getting aggressive all of a sudden. He's the guy who's, you know, they Reggie Miller mentioned in the pregame, or maybe it was Kevin Harlan. It's like he was yelling at the team, but, you know, after the game in game one about how they were soft and things of that nature. So I'll start with you, Paul. When it comes to Jay Crowder versus Aaron Gordon, who wins in a beer pong match?
That would I think Jay Crowder might break the table. might pull a Buffalo Bills fans on the table. After he sinks that last shot, because I mean, beer pong at the end of the day is 3-point shooting, and you know, Crowder definitely has that over Aaron Gordon, and you know, just for good measure, he's just gonna smash the table.
So Crowder's the guy who gets on your team, misses the first like five shots in beer pong, and then just takes you home, and then after winning, smashes the table. So
yes,
but you know,
he smashes Aaron Gordon through it, like
and then he sleeps with your woman afterwards.
WWE table match.
He sleeps with your woman afterwards. You know, but I mean, looking at Aaron Gordon, you know, his night tonight, he ended with a total of only 6 points, and I thought that was going to be, you know, we talked about how you have to make adjustments going into game two. It seemed that the Booker matchup was the adjustment. You know, Espo, when you take a look at that matchup tonight, do you think that the Suns knew that was going to be one of the adjustments and did what they could to fight through screens to avoid Booker on Gordon matchups on both offense and defense?
Well, of course. I mean, that was the one thing that stood out on the tape. Not that anybody actually watches anything on tape anymore.
Ah, tape.
But you know, looking back at the game, that was the main thing that stood out, is what the Suns needed to improve on from their game one victory. And I think they did it fantastic. And look, I think people are overblowing what Aaron Gordon's expectations are here. He only scored 10 points a game after coming to Denver, only averaged 12 in the first round. Like, this isn't a guy that's going to blow the doors off of anybody. You may have one or two good games, but I don't think it's going to be the difference maker, especially if he wants to take on Spicy J. He's in big trouble. I mean, because that was the dumbest thing I've seen anybody do this playoffs, was decide, I'm going to try to pick a fight with Jay Crowder. Like, nope, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. It's not a real smart move for you there, Aaron. You can look like a fake tough guy, but that's not something you're going to win there. And I think Jay may be a little bit in his head, and it's obvious, you know, that he's frustrated. And not only is he yelling at his teammates after game one, he's thrown his shoulder around a lot out there tonight. I think he's the guy that's going to come unglued out of anybody on this Nuggets team.
Somebody else speak.
Oh, and honestly, it's fun to watch him actually go head to head with Jay Crowder, because him and Aaron Gordon, that makes sense. But when you see, like, the night before when Marcus Morris is going after Bogdanovich in the first minute of the game and getting a technical, like, you know, that's a fake toughness right there in the NBA. Like, I don't know what that is, what you're trying to do for your team in that moment, that early in the game, maybe try to set the tone against Bogdanovich, who doesn't speak one word. I don't know what that is, but the whole Aaron Gordon thing, it's nice to get underneath his skin, because I think with the injury with Porter, it's probably going to be a big deal for him to get things going. And I don't know what you're going to expect from Gordon, because I haven't even been worried about him at all. I don't care if Porter is injured next game and we're talking about Gordon, like, oh, how big of a factor is he going to be? None. I'm not worried about the guy. I think he's going to play his little back down game once in a while, but nothing other than maybe a couple threes too. But that's about it from that guy.
Yeah, so, you know, I think that you're right on that point, Matthew. He is going to have to do something. If MPJ's not right, Aaron Gordon's going to be the guy who they're going to try to rely on, because he has been an offensive cog in the playoffs before, albeit very short-lived in a series that he played with in Orlando. And he is a guy who you can get under his skin really easy. And again, to Espo's point, like, the one guy on the court you don't go after is Jay freaking Crowder. You know, I mean, Spicy Jay, I love it. It's so true. He's a tough matchup for anyone physically. He's not going to back down to everyone. The memes of him looking at LeBron, I mean, like, I don't know. Aaron Gordon probably doesn't have the internet, doesn't look at that kind of stuff beforehand, you know, because because that's the one guy you don't want to try to take a stab at in this playoffs. I know, Matthew, you have a piece coming out on Brightside tomorrow relative to this guy.
Watch 2021.
So how about you give all of our watchers and listeners a preview of tomorrow's article by talking about what you saw tonight from DeAndre Ayton?
Well, make sure you get started early on my 200-word written piece about DeAndre Ayton.
Really putting it to work.
It's a small sample size. I loved his interview before the game. I mean, him being interviewed by the TNT crew and Shaq just saying, I don't have any questions, just good luck, go win a championship,
yes,
stuff
that
like that.
Awesome.
That's awesome stuff. And I think anytime he's on the mic, it's fun to listen to DA, because he's just so different. And the way he responds to questions is something you don't really hear a lot from other players. But his play tonight was good. It was decent in the first half. Second half, he really turned it on. I think that the pressure on DA now going against Jokic, the spotlight, I feel like everything I watch and hear right now is about DeAndre Ayton and his impact on the Suns team. That's a lot of pressure for him. I think he's handling it very, very well. Tonight, of course, he didn't play the fourth quarter, but when he was in, he was making a difference. He got super tired towards the end of the third quarter. I think him going against Jokic in this playoff atmosphere is a lot for him, and of course the rest of the players, but it's a lot for him to deal with. So he's done a great job. Tonight's game, I think he did really great.
I kind of disagree.
What?
Go for it.
I love
that. That's usually me.
Saul and Matthew always disagree. I love this.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's too big for him. I think he's been ready for this. Mm-hmm. I think he's been ready for this. He's been playing. He's basically nullified Jokic with his own stats to a degree, right? Even if it's by percentage points, Jokic has got it over. Sure, he had 24 and what, 9 tonight, and DA had 15 and 11 or 15 and 10. So, if you said that before the series that Jokic was only going to average like 22, 23 and grab 9, and DA was going to average 18 and 10, you would have taken that in a heartbeat. You know what I mean? And because of DA's past history against the Joker, and I will say this, Jokic's demeanor, I think, makes it easier for DA to kind of get into a flow against him. He's not uber aggressive. He doesn't talk trash. He just kind of plays that European kind of game. And I think that's easier for DA to kind of deal with and kind of get into a flow, as opposed to playing against somebody like, let's just say it was like, if Draymond Green was good on offense at all, like going up against somebody like that who can try and get into your headspace and cause you to do things that maybe are out of your realm of possibility. So I think DA has been fantastic. I have loved every minute of watching him on the court. I love his demeanor, and I expect that to just continue throughout the series.
That is not where I thought you were going to go when you.
Where do you think started. I was going to go?
I thought you were going to say
crap on DA tonight. Yeah, I was very confused.
I have crapped on DA one time in the last year, and that was deservedly so because he was playing crappy for like 20 straight games.
Fair enough. Look, I think DeAndre Ayton actually thrives in this kind of an environment where the attention's on him, but it's positive attention. I think he feeds on that. He seems like the kind of guy that when he's getting that pat on the back and he's got that big smile, he's good to go. And so that kind of attention, I don't think is too much for him. He has stepped up on the big stage, but tonight he started 1 of 5 from the field, right?
Mm-hmm.
Finished 6 of 10. So he went 5 of 5 the rest of the way, like after starting 1 for 5. So he didn't let that get in his head. He just came out. Like, I was worried in that first few minutes because Jokic hits that quick turnaround. That was a real pretty move. Ayton misses a few, and I'm like, all right, let's see how he bounces back. And he just kept his head in there, played well, was doing the thing I love to watch with DeAndre Ayton is on the defensive end and the offensive end on rebounds, right? When he tips that ball, he knows where to be. He knows how to tip the ball to keep it alive and either get the rebound or get it to a teammate. And he did that extremely effectively tonight as well on those 10 rebounds that he had. So overall, you cannot ask for more than what you're getting from DeAndre Ayton. And oh, for all those people that were like, he doesn't dunk enough. How about some of those dunks tonight and in these first games? He's dunking now too, all right?
One other thing I'd like to bring up about DA real quick is I've been really impressed this whole playoffs with his ability to stay out of foul trouble. Knock on wood, it stays that way. But I mean, he got those two quick fouls this game, but those were the only two fouls he had in the whole game. So, and he never had foul trouble the entire Lakers series, which is, I think, one of our biggest concerns because, you know, they do have that big front line and, you know, could have gotten them into trouble. And then we don't have, you know, we're pretty thin up there. And so if he's out of the game, you know, that would make a struggle. And we haven't had to deal with that because he definitely steps up and is in these situations where those bright lights are on him and he's playing against competition that he considers quality, it seems, is kind of, you know, we always say that the Suns play to their competition, and he is definitely one of those guys that plays to his competition, good and bad. And right now we're in the playoffs, so all the competition is good, so he is stepping up to that. And it's just been super fun to watch. I mean, the down the line, this was a very, very balanced game for the whole team. I mean, nobody cracked 20 points on the entire Suns team, and we kicked the crap out of them. So I'll take that any night.
You know, one of the things that I think it's starting to be repetitive now is that I think it's more going to be the outlier if DA gets into foul trouble than the norm, especially here in the playoffs. And I think he realizes what his capabilities are, what he's supposed to be doing. And more importantly, CP3 has coached him up so much to know his role and understand he is the leader on the defensive side. And without him, they're not as strong a defensive team. And he's taken that to heart. And now it's paying dividends in the playoffs.
Have you guys noticed, and it's happened in the first few games, and it happened a couple times in the Lakers series, DA on defense is such the anchor on it that he will actually physically push his own guys into position where they need to be. And that's a guy that's thinking holistically on that defensive end. And that's impressive to me. He's really embodied the you're the leader on that end of the floor that Chris Paul put on him. And it's shown in this playoff so far.
Well, and kind of to Saul's point, you know, him getting into foul trouble being the outlier, there was only 11 games this season where he had 5 or more fouls, and only 2 times this season he fouled out. He really is a smart, cerebral player who, kind of to Espo's point, sees the defense holistically. That's been his role. That's something he's embraced this year. He knew that he wasn't going to have to be somebody who had to put up 15 shots like he did last season with Ricky Rubio running point. He could focus more on the defense, and he's embraced that. And you see him going up against the MVP. And in two games, I mean, you come into this game against the Portland series, and we know, again, those statistics are somewhat inflated. You played the 29th best defensive team in round one. So you can't truly look at the Portland series and try to compare their performance against the Suns because it's apples to oranges. But he was averaging 30-plus points and a triple-double across the board. And Jokic had 13 rebounds tonight, 9 assists, and 24 points on 9 of 17 shooting. But that was their offense. And that's almost, you know, we talked about it coming into the series. How do you neutralize the Joker? And it's like, it's not necessarily you neutralizing the Joker. It's neutralizing the assets he has at his disposal. And the only time he really felt a rhythm, I felt, was when Dario Saric came in and played defense on him. He finally started to get his teammates involved. And once they start to get involved, they'll start knocking down shots. But for the majority of the game, the defense of the Suns is something that, again, we talk about. It's so much fun to watch because it's something that we're not truly used to seeing in Phoenix, is a team that can shut you down on both sides of the court. We can score offensively. We have guys who understand their role. There was a great piece today on ESPN by Zach Lowe about the Suns' pick and roll and how they have become just unbelievably deadly with it, and seeing how Chris Paul can do that on offense, how DeAndre Ayton's growing within that confines of the game, but the way that he's attacked the Joker and I wouldn't say neutralized him, but, you know, he stopped him as well as you can in MVP.
He frustrated him.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. He's been frustrating him this series. And, you know, again, it's only game two, fellas. It's only game two. We got a long way to go before the Western Conference Finals are taking place in Phoenix, Arizona. But if we continue to play like this, you know, again, it's a 5-game winning streak, and we won by 25 tonight. I mean, seriously, like the piece I'm going to write for Brightside tomorrow is talking about how this might be the best stretch of Suns basketball this year. And it's happening in the playoffs, ladies and gentlemen. It's happening in the playoffs.
Yeah, they've had an 85-point point differential in their last three games. Jeez. Like, this is the playoffs, and you're seeing that. I hope this isn't too far for some people, but I think this team offensively it has as much potential as that 7 seconds or less team. But they have one of the best defenses left in the playoffs to go with it. That's the insane part of this. Is it's not that they can just run you out of the gym. They can stop you on the defensive end. I mean, there was that series where they stopped Jokic. They double teamed him with Jay. I think it was in the third, and Jay basically ripped the ball from him and threw it down court to trigger the break. Now they didn't score on it, but it's unbelievable what this team can do defensively, and you mix it with offensive firepower like they have as well, and that's why you see what's happened these last three games. I think you're 100% right. We've seen peak Suns at the exact right time that you need it in the playoffs.
I wouldn't go as far about the offensive side of the ball with the 7 seconds or less Suns. I understand potential, but potential, I don't. I need to see that before I start saying that they can be that, right? But I will say the defensive side is exactly the reason why everybody should be excited about where this team is at, because even you saw it in the first half, even though the Suns were not clicking on offense, their defense was good enough to keep them in the game and give them a 10-point lead. And it was so funny is that at halftime, you know, Barkley and Shaq are kind of going back and forth, and Barkley's like, I'd rather be the team that's up by 10. And Shaq was like, well, you know, the Nuggets only shot 18%, you know, because that's how he talks. That. And I'm sitting there thinking, Shaq, they shot 18% for a reason. It's because these dudes are D'ing them up. Like, that's not going to stop in the second half, you dummy. Like, so, and that's exactly what happened. And the other thing, the Suns have been so good in the second half in this series. It's ridiculously fun to watch. And that's where the 7 seconds or less comes in for me, is that when they are clicking, then I get your point, Espo. So maybe I will backtrack and say, okay, I see where you're going. I see where you're going with that. Because it's just as fun to watch these guys run up and down the court, dunking and flip-shotting for and ones like Torrey Craig did and hitting threes, and you could just tell they're having fun and they're feeding off the energy. And that's what the 7 seconds or less Suns did. They fed off the energy and they just kept going and going and going. And man, it's so much fun to watch.
Well, I'm going to bring up something. We are just now hitting the 45-minute mark of this podcast. We have not said the two words Devin Booker once. Think about that.
Happens all the time. This team, you talk about everybody else. Booker gets left out sometimes as that's how good this team is. Knock on you, John. You're perfect.
Get out of here with that shit. But to that point, you know, Paul mentioned it, the balance. And I mentioned on the last podcast, you know, the balance of the Phoenix Suns in game one was phenomenal. And it's something that you like to see, but I don't know if it's something that you will consistently see, because you're going to have performances like we saw Devin Booker have in the first round, where, you know, one member of the team just goes absolutely apeshit, and typically it's Devin Booker. Devin Booker led all Suns scores with 18 points, but Paul had 17. You had Bridges had 16. It's another guy we haven't mentioned, but I mean, Devin Booker's obviously the superstar, so that's why I brought it up. Ayton had 15, 11 for Crowder. They all had either 10 to 14 shots outside of Crowder, who only had 5, but was 4 for 5 from the field. I mean, we talk about it. I think it's just, you know, I'll say this, you know, how fun is this run of Phoenix Suns basketball? How is it amazing? How amazing is it for the bandwagoners, which I openly welcome? Come and enjoy this team. You know, that this is what builds a fan base, a team that plays like this. Kids dancing in the aisles, people drinking and chugging with the fellas and chanting. Now, us loyalists, we don't know how to act because we're not used to this. We're so scarred. But this is memorable, and this is what basketball is about. This is what sport is about. And watching this team play defense that we mentioned and a balanced attack and all these, you know, things that you want in a great team. We're watching it right now. It's fun. I'm sitting there with my wife. We're up 30 points. And she turns to me. She's like, oh my God, if LeBron was here, he'd leave right now. And I'm like, I love you. Like, that's the best quote of the night. You know, I mean, wow. I'm like, you get it. Okay. You know, it's just like, it's what we're experiencing. This run of Phoenix basketball is going to bring everybody, a new generation of people who are going to be doing a podcast 10 years from now. And we'll be sitting there clicking like in the chat and subscribing to their pod.
Whatever we'll comes still after be doing podcasts. This.
Yeah, we'll be like the Silver Fox, Dave, and we'll be still doing podcasts.
The last time the Suns were in the playoffs, I was in the military. I was stuck in San Antonio, Texas, and I was stuck by myself watching these games and cheering by myself in my living room because everybody else was asleep, or, you know, because the games were like 2 hours later than they would be right now. Mm-hmm. And I just remember, like, man, you know, it would be nice to be doing this and celebrating with Suns fans. And now I'm doing it with you guys, man. Yes. This is fucking awesome.
This is so awesome. And now you wish you were back in San Antonio all by yourself. I'm excited, like you said, for that younger generation of Suns fans. Like, I'm watching my 4-year-old daughter here in the first series. She's chanting Beat LA with me. Now she's chanting Go Suns Go. And like, your lifelong fandom is formed in those formative years, right? That's you become a fan like many of us did. And there's a whole generation that didn't become Suns fans because they didn't have this for a 10-year period. And now, outside of those of us who saddled our kids with it, whether they were winning or not, but it's amazing to watch and know that another generation of fans is getting their passion for this team, for this sport, from this group of guys. Because I remember, you know, listening to Al McCoy calling those Barkley era games, and that was the moment I knew, come hell or high water, I'm going to be a fan of this team. I'll support this team, and I want to just be a part of what it means to be a Suns fan for life. And there's a whole new group doing that now, and that's amazing.
It's really special what's happening right here. And, you know, I think it's been fun, especially for Matthew and I doing the podcast after every game this year, going through the highs, which are, you know, it's been a year where with a lot of highs and not so many lows. You know, Greg, kudos to you and Dave for holding it down for the 4 horrible years. It's great to see
it was
you.
Long.
And long. And, you know, and you too, Paul, on Fanning the Flames,
God bless
you guys have been putting out content for a long time, and to get to this point and see this team perform like they did on nights time like tonight.
Yeah, and now we're too busy fantastic. To regularly podcast.
Yeah, now you got those.
So we
kids,
just jump on here with you guys. So thank you for letting us.
Well, of course. I mean, this is what it's all about. Real quick, I just want to make sure we got to get this one in. Let us know, ladies and gentlemen, who is your
Jam star of the game.
I'll go around the room real quick, reminding anybody who is watching along live on YouTube to one, subscribe, two, hit the thumbs up button, and three, let us know in the chat who your jam star of the game is. So, Saul, we will start with you. I think I know who it is based on your four words coming into this podcast, but you just got to say it sticks, right?
Actually, no, I'm actually going to go somewhere completely different. The other CP, Campaign, when he blocked shot. And then basically cussed on national television, and then they replayed it, and he cussed some more. It was beautiful. I loved every second of it. I was like, yeah, I was feeling that. I got up off my couch. I was like, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it was awesome. Espo, what about you?
It's got to be CP3. I mean, 17 points, 15 assists, 5 rebounds, 0 turnovers. Some of the biggest shots in the fourth quarter to just slam that door shut. It's amazing, but to your pick, Saul, Campaign is like 1-to-1 odds that he's going to do the big ball dance in this series. It's coming.
If he doesn't do this, this series has been a disappointment.
I was dancing around like that in my living room all game, and my wife said, "Do you have a shit in your pants or something? Like, what's going on?" Like,
is Campaign Sam Cassell 2.0?
Ooh, I like that.
I'm really liking that.
I've worn normal shaped head, but yeah,
absolutely. I think he doesn't look like ET, but yes.
It's I don't know if I'd say normal, but it's not.
Yeah, I think that dude, that's a great comparison. That is a great comparison.
Wow, I never thought about that. More on that coming later. All right. Boyd, on that note,
Boyd has got his next
article for Brightside.
There's my next Brightside piece. Oh, I get no work done these days. All right, Paul. So, who is your jam star of the game? Baller?
I'm going off the board right now, and my jam star of the game is my podcast partner Justin's daughter Charlie, who's turned 11 today. So, happy birthday, Charlie!
Oh, very cool.
Happy birthday! We got your son's victory.
Happy birthday to you.
That
was a moment. That was beautiful.
If I'm actually looking at the game, it's my namesake, Paul.
There you go. There you go. And Matthew, there's no one named Matthew on this
team. First of all, John, you and your wife are a hoot in your living room. You guys going back and forth. It's fun to hear about that. I think it's Booker in a crucial part in the second half or second quarter when it was like a really bad offensive game going on, like a lot of turnovers. Nothing was really moving. Booker got to the line a few times and he got that big dunk, leading to a timeout going to the half. I think he was tonight's jam star. I'm just going to give it to him. I know it's so difficult with this team, of course, every night, but that was a big turning point, I think, for the Suns offensively. I know after the halftime, they came out and they played phenomenal, but honestly, that was the point. I think it turned everything around.
And so says Jay says in the chat, she loved that boy. So again, happy birthday, Charlie. It's the whole team. It's so hard. Like, you know, CP3, in my opinion, yes, he is the jam star. He's the guy who I think here's my crucial moment of the game is right after that scuffle between Aaron Gordon and Jay Crowder. Jay Crowder draws an offensive foul. And then you come down the court and there's that opportunity where you might see some blows and you might see Denver get a little chippy. If this was the Lakers series, it definitely would have happened. And CP3 just hit like a quick 16 footer and just shut the Denver Nuggets down. He said, nope, we're going to continue playing this game. And the team gets behind that. Again, they follow the leader. And in that moment, he showed me again, not like I needed to see it, but he showed me again how quality of a leader he is. Somebody was in my office today talking about CP3 and they're like, man, that guy's annoying. I'm like, yeah, that's because he doesn't play for your team. This was a Lakers fan who told me if the Suns win the championship, he'll wear a Suns shirt or a jersey of my picking around property all day long. And he's a little larger, and I got a medium jersey that used to fit me. So that's going to be really cute.
Spoken like a true Lakers fan.
How many years ago did that used to fit you, John?
Oh, God, like 15 years ago. It's a Steve Nash Wild West purple jersey. So it's when they had like the 30th anniversary of the 1975-76 team. It was the 06, so that's when I bought it. So, on that note, those are our jam stars. Let's look at game three. Okay. Game three is coming up on Friday. A quick turnaround. I do love these quick turnarounds. I'm not going to lie. Like every other day, you're just like, okay, you can analyze it for a little bit and then it's right back in there. You know, we talked about it a little bit earlier in the podcast relative to how that crowd's going to be. and they're going to present Nikola Jokic with his MVP trophy, the first one in Denver Nuggets NBA history. How do you think that game turns out? Do we have any predictions here, or are we just going to sit here and go, you know what, we just won by 25 points. Fuck predictions. We're up 2-0 in the series.
Do we know how much capacity for them or no?
I don't. Does anyone know?
I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters. I think this is
ready. I'm just wondering because you mean, know, full house for the Suns apparently matters. So
yeah,
this is true. This is true.
It matters.
It matters.
It matters. But yes. But I mean,
they're ready for the crowd.
Yeah. Even still, I mean, I'm not too worried about it. I think the Suns are definitely a team that really likes to go into, and they had one of the best, if not the best, road record in the league. They like to go in to the opponent's house and shut them down. So
yeah,
I mean. You know,
another great thing about this team: defense, balanced shooting, great on the road. Like, what the fuck is happening?
You know, I mean, if they win on Friday, you know, it's over. I don't think any team's ever come back from 3-0. So,
like, Boston Red Sox,
different sport. No,
does not in basketball.
Fuck A-Rod.
Basketball. So, but you know, gentlemen's sweep. You know, we want, like, we got some people who are thinking about coming out to Phoenix for game 5. So, you know, want to make sure they're not having a missing out on a situation. So,
look, I think the first quarter is going to be the key in game 3 because, as you talked about, the presentation of the MVP trophy, the energy that's going to be there because it's the first game of the semifinals in Denver. If you can weather that storm and do very much what you have in these first two games where you come out in that third quarter and in that second half and put the pedal down at that point, I don't foresee them having huge issues. I think this will be a much closer game in Denver, just because Denver's going to get the calls. Jokic will get more calls at home than he does on the road. This is more of a typical series in that way. So I think it'll be closer, but the momentum that the Suns have right now, it just feels like something that's going to be very difficult to overcome, especially if MPJ isn't healthy. If he is not fully healthy, which it doesn't look like he will be for game 3, I think the Suns are going to take a commanding lead in this series.
As nervous as we all are about, you know, just basketball and Suns basketball in general, sometimes you have to step back and you have to look at this series and look at these two teams as if you didn't have any buy-in to either one. What is happening on the floor? What is happening on, you know, with each individual team in terms of injuries and performance? And any bystander should be able to tell you that the Suns are a much better team than the Nuggets, especially in these two games. And with everything that's going on with the Nuggets at this moment, it's just hard to believe that the Suns are just going to completely fall flat on their face for two straight games before coming back home. So with that being said, I think game 3, like Espo says, is going to be much closer. But I don't even know if that close is like 2 or 3 points or if it's just like 10, because they beat them by 17 and 25 already. Jeez, you know what I mean? Yeah. So, you know, I'm thinking it's going to be closer, but I don't know how close.
And we've yet to have the Devin Booker game.
This is true.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't needed to. He hasn't needed to.
Which, you know, what's going to happen in this series. But
the great thing about it is that he's kind of taking a little bit of CP3 on as well. He's realizing where the double teams are. He's trusting his teammates and they're coming through for him. So he doesn't feel like he needs to force everything. And that's the beauty of Devin Booker and the process and part of the maturation of getting to the playoffs and seeing how teams are more physical and develop as they go from game to game. It's just, it's awesome. It's awesome.
Oh, hey. You know, you don't know what to expect with this team. There's so much adversity that's going to happen, of course, going forward, but they can overcome really anything. I trust them to overcome anything, even if they go into this game and lose by a couple points. You know, they'll bounce back the next game. You know, if that does happen, I'm not too worried. But I think if they just keep it close and they go into the half, you know, if it's flip-flopped and Shaq is saying, yeah, I would rather be down by 10 points or whatever the hell he was saying, then I think the Suns could still come out and take the game. I just think they can hang with this team no matter how much momentum they have after that MVP trophy is hoisted by Jokic. I don't think it fazes this team. It's just, this is just unreal how great this team is, just because tonight, like in the second half, like what the hell everything they do on the court is just to the next level, better than any team right now. And I just don't think you can really, you know, you can't go against this team right now at all.
Well, we'll see come Friday. Travis says in the chat that they're bumping up the current capacity in Denver to 18,300. So they're at full capacity in Denver come Friday. We'll see how that is. We'll see how raucous that crowd is. And we'll see how the Suns respond to a crowd that is going to be hectic and crazy, and it's going to be a good experience for our players. On that note, I think it's time to wrap up the podcast. I'd like to thank everybody who joined us in the chat, watching along live. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you hit that thumbs up button to let everybody know where to get the best Phoenix Suns content. If you're listening on the Bright Side of the Sun podcast network, please subscribe, rate, and review, because you're not only going to get the Suns Jam Session podcast, but also the Fanning the Flames podcast with Paul, who joined us tonight, and Justin, who's been hanging out in the chat and celebrating his daughter's birthday tonight. Make sure you enter code Suns Jam at Just Sports or whatever. Espo, you want to tell everybody about the Sun solar panel, because we're watching over there as well.
Yeah, you know, I just love how you come through for your sponsors there.
Drops.
Speaking of sponsors, you gonna slide in all your sponsors real quick.
Yep. Shout out to. Speaking of sponsors, shout out to @Statman_Mark on Twitter tonight. He said Manscaped's next product should be called the Suns 1.0. I mean, they clean those nuggets real well. So shout out to them. If you want to get that or the Lawnmower 4.0, head over to manscaped.com. Use the code FLAMINGBALLERS. Get 20% off and free shipping. You knew I was going to get that in. If you're listening to the solar panel, wherever you get podcasts, hit that review button. Give us 5 stars and then say whatever the hell you want. You can diss us in the written portion. I don't give a crap.
As long
just
as
give
five
us
stars.
Those 5 stars. And then hit that join button or the like button on YouTube and help us out here. Become a flaming baller.
And where can they follow you, Sir Paul?
I am at Dervish of Whirl. As you mentioned, our podcast shares the same feed as yours, so please subscribe and you'll get my fun content along with Justin, my co-host, who's at So Says Jay, and the pod's Twitter handle is Fan the Flames NBA. See, Justin, I can do it.
Well done. Good job, man. Listen, if you subscribe to the podcast and you donate to the podcast, we might be able to buy a door for Paul's closet behind him. That's the goal before the end of by the end.
I like it
finals.
Better when he's in the dark. When he's in the dark, it's much better.
Yeah,
I always feel like a woman's gonna pop her head out. Like, oh, yeah.
There is a wedding dress in there.
He does look like a drug dealer.
Saul, where can they follow you?
You can follow me on Twitter @Saul_Bookman. The underscore is there because that book fadeaway is nasty.
Oh, that's one of the seasons. I like that one.
I've been waiting all year for that.
Yes.
Saul just laid on the floor and lifted his head and looked up at all of us.
And Sir Matthew.
@MatthewPaulLissy.
Fantastic. And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, make sure you subscribe again. You can follow our show @SunsJam on Instagram, Twitter, and the Phoenix Fans app. You can follow me @DarthVoida. We'll see you come Friday night. Thank you, everybody. #Chugging chugging with the fellas. That's what it's all about. We'll see you Friday. Matthew.
Go home, love your family.
I want to hear you scream. Mug the nugs, mug, mug the nugs. Mug the nugs, mug, mug the nugs.
Yeah.
Mug the nugs, mug, mug the nugs.
Hey.
Mug.